Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study on 1 Thessalonians, we were talking about the movement of the religious community, to be sure not to offend the unsaved. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Back in 1973, there was a strong evangelistic thrust in our country that went along various denominational lines. And it was called Key 73. And they were looking and invited people to write new music for this movement. But there were several stipulations for the new music. The words righteousness, judgment, holiness, repentance, and several other biblical terms were not allowed to be used. And the lyrics were to be of a positive nature. There was an intentional effort that was made to write non-offensive songs. A number of these were produced that year through the evangelistic effort of Key 73. That helped to strengthen the move away from biblical doctrine and biblical standards of music. And that's a shame. And that's the very thing that God condemns. Now consider what the apostle was asking these people at Thessalonica to believe here when he preached to them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That he, that is the Messiah, the one that was coming to be their king, must suffer and die. And it speaks of a sin condition. The sin condition of man, not just Gentile men, but Jewish men, Gentile men, all people. Sure, Jesus will come and establish a millennial and then an eternal kingdom. But to enter that kingdom, they must be saved from their sins. They must see Jesus Christ as their almighty God and Savior. They must see their need to humble themselves and repent. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, the law showed that a man is a sinner. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 7, it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid, nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. See, the law just revealed that man is a sinner. It doesn't save a man. It just really judges a man. A man's life is measured by the law. If it's not been kept in total, every bit, if it's been broken at all, then that man is judged a sinner by the law. The law is holy. It is good, but it does not save. And so the apostle said he didn't know that in his situation that he had lust until he saw that the law said, thou shalt not covet. Man cannot keep the law. That's why James chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Man needs a Savior simply because he cannot save himself. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, That's final, complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire. That's why we read in Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Yes, my friend, we must understand that Jesus saves from sin. I was recently listening to a pastor at a conference preach that was giving his testimony. And he said for 38 years he was an alcoholic and a drug addict. He said then the day come that he received Christ as his personal Savior. He gave his all to the Lord. He said he didn't need a 12-step program. He only needed a 1-step program. All for Jesus. He said, "I started being in church every time the doors were open. Every day I was in the Word of God. I was praying." He said, "Jesus changed me. Jesus took that sin away." My friend, Jesus will do the same for you, but you must be willing to give him all. You must see that Jesus Christ was God Almighty in the flesh. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we read this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, please understand, in that passage I just read to you, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, please understand that it says that the Word was God. In the beginning, the Word. In other words, in the beginning, when time, when creation, when everything started, the Word was already existing. It was already existed when everything started. And the Word, whoever the Word is, we're told, is God. And without this Word, not anything made that was made that was made. And then we find that the Word was made flesh. So the Word, Almighty God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. So a person must see that Jesus was God in the flesh. He also must understand that he rose up from the dead. Revelation chapter 1, verses 18 says that he has the keys of hell and of death. Why? Because he's the only one to have conquered both. And they must believe and see there is salvation in no other. That's why Acts 4:12 says there's none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. I was in college, and I had a speech class. And in this class, every week we were given a list of words. And we would have to go look them up in the dictionary and enunciate those words in class. In the beginning of the year in the class, the paper handed out by the teacher said that we were to use a Webster Collegiate Dictionary. Now, I had purchased an American Collegiate Dictionary before I had received that paper. I also had a wife and two children at the time, so I couldn't afford to buy another book. And so I just kept the same dictionary. I mean, they're American words, are both English dictionaries, and so they ought to be in agreement. I mean, words mean the same thing, do they not? They're enunciated the same way, are they not? So I enunciated a word, and she said, "No, that's wrong." I said, "Well, that's just the way it was marked in the dictionary." And I showed her, and she was bewildered. Then she opened her dictionary, and her dictionary said something differently. And so she said that since the Webster Dictionary was the official dictionary of the class, that was correct. Well, she was right, because she had stated that up front in her paper that she handed out. However, isn't it interesting, the English language is supposed to have rules and words are supposed to be enunciated in certain ways. and the intelligentsia is not in agreement on the English language of what is right and what is not. You see, only the Word of God is absolute and correct. And people today say, well, there are many ways to heaven. They even have made new Bibles to help them create these new ways to heaven. But my friend, as there was only one teacher in my speech class, there's only one God and righteous judge. And his pronouncement is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, someone may say, well, isn't that narrow-minded? Yes. Yes, it's narrow. There are not many ways. And we're told in Matthew 7 that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth into destruction. The way that leads into life everlasting is narrow. In other words, there's only one way. And that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is where the Jews are wrong, and that is the subject that must be addressed. Now think about this. Cholesterol reads at 375. Should the doctor warn and tell the patient to quit eating fried and other high cholesterol food? Or should he avoid it because the doctor is attacking food that his patient obviously loves? How could that doctor care for his patient by attacking the things that the man loves? That's just simply too negative and unloving. You say, Brother Andy, that is moronic. And you're right. As moronic as that reasoning is, there are people who use the same reasoning about not preaching things that might seem to be too negative and unloving to others, although it's the truth. Now, these Jews in Thessalonica had to see that Jesus was their only way of salvation. And if they don't see that, they're going to go to hell, just like any man who does not receive Christ as Savior. There was a movie that was produced recently that a mission board agency on their website encouraged people to go and watch because it was non-threatening to unsaved people and not overly Christian. Now, the word Christian means Christ-like, so I don't know why people that claim to be missionaries and want to get the gospel around the world and save people's souls, why they wouldn't want things to seem Christ-like. In addition to that, encouraging people to go to the movie, the lead actor was a sodomite. Now, you have a sodomite as the lead actor, and because it's a missionary story, and supposedly a Christian story, they say people should go see it, even though it's non-threatening and not overly Christian. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.